News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with Air.
Air France and Airbus have been found guilty of manslaughter over a 2009 plane crash that killed 228 people. This was Air France flight 447, which went down in the mid-Atlantic. Kevin Byrne is with us. He's airport safety and security auditor and a retired lieutenant colonel with the Defence Forces. Kevin, this is a very unusual one because the accident itself was, I don't mean it pejoratively, but it was entirely avoidable and it was ultimately caused by pilot action. So how is it that Air France and Airbus are responsible?
Well, good morning, Anton. You've got to go back to June 2009, which I remember well because it was my birthday as it happened. And I also used it as a case study when I was teaching in Dublin City University some years later. You know, it was an Airbus A330, a common or garden wide-bodied aircraft. I've flown on them many times and will do so again. And it was a routine flight out of to Paris out of Rio de Janeiro. You know, it hit an ice crystals, which were part and parcel of a storm front, which is not, again, unusual. But unfortunately, the aircraft's pitot tubes, these are little sensors which stick out of the aircraft and they tell you how fast you're going, basically. And they clogged up with ice crystals. So you got unreliable airspeed readings and that knocked out the autopilot and the auto thrust disconnected. So the pilots are sort of, you know, cruising along, no big deal. And the aircraft went into what was then a stalled situation. So it stopped flying. It was cruising at very high altitude, and it hit the sea 2.5 minutes later. And the actions of the pilots in that 2.5 minutes sort of led it to the accident itself. So it's quite a complex case.
But in that instance, I'm right in saying that if the pilots, and not criticizing them, but if they were in a position to have taken the correct actions, the aircraft itself was entirely flyable despite those challenges.
Yes, indeed. What they failed to do was recognize that the aircraft was stalling, which is kind of unusual. They had no outside visual references, you see, and they were startled. That's the thing they call, you know, startled. Something happens completely unexpected that you might not have done in the simulator while doing the annual training, you see. And because of that, actually, if they'd left the controls alone, the aircraft would have flown itself out of the stall. It was not a big deal. But they kept pulling back, not realizing that the aircraft was at a very low airspeed. And the bit that surprised me, because they had no readings as how fast the aircraft was going, they didn't sense the fact that the aircraft was literally falling out of the sky from a high altitude. But they did have a thing they could have used but were never trained on, and it's called GPS. We all have it in our phones, it's in the car, whatever. It will tell you, plus or minus a few knots, how fast you're going. Nobody in the 2.5 minutes as they fell from the sky thought of looking at the speed of the aircraft, exactly how fast are we going. Had they known that, they could have put the nose down and had the aircraft fly away and continued the flight, despite the fact that some of the instruments did not work because of icing. So that's why Air France are being, you know, they were fined this sum of money because they didn't have the training. But in fairness, Airbus themselves had to reinstall these items with better equipment on them. So all the aircraft of that type were, in fact, had new pitot tubes put in later on, which were then not, you know, subject to temporary blocking due to ice crystals. So both companies are involved, and that's why it took this long to get to the court yesterday.
And it's where it's interesting in respect of when you then look at the kind of horror situation the pilots found themselves in, because they had an aircraft dumped into their lap by all the automatic systems unexpectedly. They had the aircraft then behaving differently because the laws and the autopilot had changed automatically without necessarily them understanding it. And they had warnings that sounded when problems were being solved rather than when problems were being caused. Horrendous situation for them to have found themselves in.
Yeah, and all to do with the fact that they didn't have the speed. If somebody who had not been trained to do it now, I think, just look, how fast are we going? And if we don't have the original information, what do we do? The GPS would tell them for free, you know, and it might be a few percentage out, but they would have known that the aircraft was going far too slowly to fly. You simply put the nose down, put some power on, and the thing would fly out of it. And from the earliest stages of training, you're taught how to stall an aircraft, how to recognize the stall and how to get out of it, no matter how big or how small the airplane might be. But it didn't work in this case because it's in the dark, it's flying along, it's completely unexpected, and they hadn't expected this failure to take place. So, you know, you'd have to feel sorry for them. They did everything they thought they did properly, but it wasn't enough to protect the aircraft from the accident crashing into the sea.
Now, the strange thing is then that the court has found both Airbus and Air France guilty of manslaughter, but the penalty for organisations of their scale is almost laughable.
it's a tiny drop. I think it was 225,000 euros each. So that's obviously set in some, you know, in a former century from that point of view. So, you know, that's just a few minutes profit for both companies in that regard. So it's just it's a token, basically, more than anything else, as far as I can tell. And it's reputational damage. But they've got past that, I think, because they did put in fairness to them, you know, improvements, pitot tubes, enhanced pilot training, better cockpit procedures, all that kind of thing. So the situation was resolved in about 2 years. The other mystery, by the way, just in they went to fantastic lengths to find out what went wrong with this by getting the so-called black boxes, the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder. Both were on the seabed at 4,000 metres deep, and they went to a lot of trouble and took 2 years to get them back. But by doing so, they at least found out exactly what went wrong and in what sequence, and to put in measures to stop it happening again.
Kevin, thanks very much for your time. That's Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Byrne, Airport Safety and Security Auditor.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.